condemning burden of sin or failure or in your life, I say to you tonight, you come to the cross of Jesus and you lay down your burden there and you leave here a brand new man, a brand new woman in Christ Jesus. Amen. He loves you and he cares for you. You see, the cross offends because it offends our religious ways. It offends. It reveals us as sinners. The cross is also offensive because of its violence. Its violence. Let me read to you a famous passage. It starts in Isaiah 52, verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. Appalled. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. But so will he sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him. And what they're not told, they'll see. What they've not heard, they will understand. Who's believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. 7.2 billion people walking the planet Earth right now. I was talking to Graham earlier on. There's approximately 500,000 hair follicles in every human being, an adult human being, with your eyebrows and eyelashes and everything. God knows every single one of those 7.2 billion people. He doesn't just know them. He knows every single hair follicle that's on their body. He knows every word that's going to come out their mouth before they say it. He knows everything, everybody. And yet, he loves us so much that God Almighty would send his Son for us to do that to him. To do that to him. That's what we did to him. That's what your sin, that's what my sin, that's what our sin did to Jesus. His visage, his being, so marred beyond any human likeness, the Bible says. Because God loves you. God loves you, sir. God loves you, madam. He loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. He took your sin upon himself. And that's offensive, that his face was so marred, so brutalized. Pilate had tried to free him. He didn't want to crucify Jesus. We know that from Scripture. And he tried by having him beaten so many times, so badly, just to save his life, but it was not to happen. Why? Because the Bible says it was the Lord's will to crush him and to have him suffer for you and for me. You see, we like the innocence and beauty of Christ, the baby in the manger. We're coming up to that season now. We're inspired by the wisdom of Christ, the teacher on the hillside. We're awed by the compassion of Christ, the miracle man with the fish and the bread. We're amazed by the miracle Christ, the healer of the blind, the deaf, the mute, even raising the dead. We're stirred by Christ, the zealot in the temple who drove out the moneylenders. But don't give us the bloodied Christ of the cross. Don't show us the scar of Jesus on Calvary. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that on our television anymore. Don't talk about that in our news. Don't preach that in our schools. Don't tell us about that Christ. Whatever it is, we don't want him. We want the baby. We want the eggs. We want everything. Don't give us the Christ of the cross.
Without the Christ of the cross, there is no salvation. Without the Christ of the cross, there is no healing. Without the Christ of the cross, there is no deliverance. Without the Christ of the cross, there is no heaven. Without the Christ of the cross, there is no salvation for any of us. And it comes by way of the cross.
And we cannot get past it. It's right there in front of us. The bloodied, scarred, wounded body of Jesus Christ. Without the cross, all of the other stuff, his healing, his teaching, all of it would have been a show, a flash in the pan of history, a sentimental reflection of what could have been. But because of the cross, the rest is not relegated to the past. Because today, he saves, he heals, he delivers, he has compassion, he sets the captives free, he empowers over sin and Satan and death itself. Jesus said, because I live, you too shall live. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he died or she died, yet shall he live. How? How could that have happened? Through the blood and the brutality of the cross. And it's offensive, folks. I remember one time my wife and I were walking on Princes Street in Edinburgh, and we were just talking to people that we met along the street about Jesus. And there was this guy who was either Baha'i or Muni or something like that, and we started to talk to him about Christ. He listened until we talked about the blood of Jesus, until we talked about the cross. And the instant we mentioned the blood of Christ, he physically was thrown back against the sort of shop window that was there on Princess Street. We never touched him. There was like a... Because he didn't want the Christ of the cross. He didn't want the blood and the gore. But that's what... That was the cost for you and for me. A friend of ours, Angus Buchan, you know him. He said, a great violence surrounds the birth of a miracle. And the cross exemplifies that. It proves that. We look at the cross. If you watch the Passion of the Christ, it's probably as near as we could show without just getting really ridiculous to the bloodied corpse of Jesus on the cross. And if you, like me, have seen that for yourself, if you would say, Lord, you did that for me, nothing is too much for me to do for you. Nothing. I remember watching a DVD of a man, I can't remember, it was David something or other. He was a preacher, and he had to go, he was conscripted to go to Vietnam. There was a napalm grenade blew up in the side of his face and it burnt all his face. He was very badly disfigured. He travels around the world sharing his testimony and preaching the gospel. And he was sharing one day about how one day he was invited to this church and shared his testimony, and then the pastor got up and he had at the front of the church sanctuary, he had a wine press. And he put grapes in this wine press and he began to talk about being crushed for our iniquities, and he crushed it. And this man, David, tells his story. He said that the meeting was over, everybody had gone home, it was hours later, he was still sitting there. He was in the front seat, this guy. He'd been through something like 40-odd more, probably, operations. I'm not exaggerating. And he sat there and he just couldn't take his eyes off the drip. And at that moment, this is what he said, a man who's been through all those operations and had that horrible scar, he said, I realised at that moment of just what Jesus Christ had done for me. Drip. 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 The blood of Christ. It's an offence because of its violence. It's also an offence because of its foolishness. Yes, that's the right thing I said there. It's foolishness. Let me read to you some verses in 1 Corinthians. Starting in verse 17. It says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then he goes on to say, where's the wise man, the scholar? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased. Listen to this verse. Brothers, listen to this verse, folks. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Do you know, brothers and sisters, our message is very simple. It's Christ crucified. That's the message that we have as Christians. It's Christ crucified. That's the message that will change our neighbors. That's the message that will change our nation. It's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But so often, we don't want to talk about it because it's an offense. And you know what? The Bible says, listen to that verse. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For God was pleased by the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Do you know when I talk to people and they say, oh, this cross business is utter foolishness, I don't argue with them anymore. I just say, yes, that's true. The Bible says that. You usually get a kind of start reaction. What? It says that the foolishness... God was pleased through the foolishness of the gospel to save those who believe. Foolishness. I want to say to you tonight, my dear friend, and I say this with some bit of trepidation. If tonight you're here and the gospel is foolishness to you, if the cross is foolishness to you, the Bible says it's because right now, right at this moment as you hear this, you're perishing. That's what that verse says. It says that. I'll read it to you. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is God's power. That's the cross. That's where the power is. Brothers and sisters, that's where the power is to touch our friends and our family. It's through the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And if tonight the cross is foolishness to you, repent, change your mind, your heart, the direction of your life. If it's foolishness to you, your soul is in danger tonight. It's in peril. But it says, it is the power of God for those of us who are being saved. Turn to him, and you will be saved. Put your trust in the cross, and you will be saved. When Noah and the people went into the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was crying out to the people, get right with God. They laughed at him, they scorned him, until God shut them in. Do you know, I was really, you know, thinking about the hurricane that hit the Haiti, was it the hurricane that hit? Do you know, for weeks, and then days, and then even hours before it was coming, go, just get, flee, go, run, just get away from the coast, get as far away as you possibly can, flee. And you know, they ignored the warning, and hundreds died. Why? Because they ignored the warning that was coming, that the thing was coming. The Bible says, flee the wrath that is to come. We don't like these verses. I understand that. We don't like them. They're not comfortable. But we have to. Flee the wrath that is to come. How do we do that? We do it through the message of the cross. The cross. The cross. The cross saves you. The cross saves me. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The cross. It's offensive because it's violent. It's offensive because it's foolishness. But you know, that foolishness of the cross is real. The faith is real. God was pleased to save those who believed that message. If you have believed that message, he's pleased to save you and I tonight. The Bible says we are God's ambassadors, as if God were making his appeal through us to be reconciled to God. Faith is real. It's tangible. It's touchable. It's tasteable. I used to say before I was a Christian, I'll believe it when I see it. But the way the Bible works, the way God works is, if you believe it, then you'll see it in your life. Amen. You will see it. It will come to pass. The cross is foolishness, but it's foolishness to those who are perishing. And God is pleased through the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. Faith believes the impossible. The other part of the cross that's offensive is it destroys all of our religious ways. In John chapter 3, we have a story of a man called Nicodemus who comes. He's religious, he's righteous, he's ceremonially perfect, he's studious, he ticked all of the right boxes and some. But then he came to Jesus by night and said, "Lord, we know you're a man who's been sent from God. For God would not do the miracles through you unless he was working through you." Jesus said to him, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's not enough to go through the motions. It's not enough just to believe. It's not enough just to be religious and come to church or even read your Bible. You have to put your trust and faith in him and allow his spirit to change your heart, that you might be born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable through the living, enduring word of God." You see, the cross puts to death all of our religious ways. It puts to death. That's why the religious leaders hated Jesus. That's why they hated the message of Paul and Peter. Because their merits no longer matter. Their alms and their tithes and their religious observance was no longer relevant because Christ did it on the cross. He called out, "It is finished." And he finished it on Calvary. Religion is man's attempt to appease God. Christianity is God providing salvation and redemption for man. Religion is about what we do for God. Christianity is about what God did for us. What he did for us. Isaiah wrote, "All of us have become like one who is unclean. Our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We will shrivel up like a thief, and like the wind, our sins will sweep us away." The psalmist wrote, "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment will ever be enough that he should live on and not see decay." He was speaking the truth because there was only one payment. There was only one price that could deal with your sin, my sin, and the sin of the world. And it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ poured out on the cross. The New Testament is saturated with teaching on this. Jesus, Paul, Peter, John. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. It's through the law we become conscious of sin. No, a man's not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And justified means just as if I had never sinned. And if you've accepted what Christ has done for you, if you've believed in him and received him and experienced that born again experience, God looks at you just as if you'd never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. Religion can't save us, can't save me, can't save you. Only Jesus saves. He alone saves. The cross offends religion. It offends religious people because it puts to death all our efforts, all our words, all our ceremonial rituals, and it attacks the chief enemy in all of us, and that is pride. Pride that we'll do it. As Frank Sinatra sang, "I'll do it my way." I'll do it my way. No, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Do it my way. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Salvation is not a religion. It's not a church. It's not a position. It's a person. It's Jesus. Only Jesus saves, and he does so by the cross. When I was young, many years ago, when I was in early teens, not even teens, my mom went to church religiously. She was part of a Church of Scotland that so happened to be in Inverness. And her minister was very popular, had quite a big church. Did you know that? She went to that church. She was a member of that church for 8 years. And he pastored and he ministered in that church for 8 years. And then he got saved. Then he got saved. And his church multiplied even more after that. He was there by default. But then he was there by intention. Because Christ had saved him. So the cross, it's offensive because it condemns us as sinners. It's violent. It's foolishness. It destroys all our religious ways. But it's also the only way to God. And in our society, in the way we're living right now in our society, that's offensive. But friends, that's the truth. And if we as Christians are going to affect our society, if we're going to reach our loved ones and reach our communities and reach this nation, we must not compromise. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to God but by him. Luke wrote this in Acts, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by given by men by which we must be saved. Paul wrote to Timothy, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. Not many ways, not some ways, not few ways. One way, Jesus, the cross. And any minister, any man in the pulpit, any man who stands up in a church and who talks about other ways to God is not a man of God. He's not a woman of God. There's one way to God, and that one way is through Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. And this offends people, but it's the word of God. It's what God says. How can you say that? Don't you know it offends people from other religions? I don't wish to offend anyone or upset anyone here or anywhere else. But I love all people, no matter their culture, their color, their sex, their religion, or otherwise. But I cannot condone beliefs that contradict the word of God and its teachings. I cannot